Bring your warm Christian greetings this evening. Appreciate the prayers that have been offered on our behalf, Brother Dan's prayer, and ask that you would continue to pray as we endeavor to look into God's word for a little while here this evening. It's a special occasion for sure, and we're glad to be here at this time. My mind goes back to, I guess, right around 50 years ago, when my wife then and I were put into the ministry. God has never failed us. I feel that we have failed him many times, but he's always ready to forgive and to build us up that we might continue on to serve him. We're going to be using a lot of scripture this evening, looking at it and calling attention to some of the things that have come into my mind as I looked at these scriptures. If I were to give you a subject title tonight, it would be Thou an Example. I believe that we should be an example in our everyday life. I believe as we go about our business, we should be an example to those in the neighborhood and wherever, that they would have to realize that we are God's children, and our desire is to worship and to serve him acceptably as we go about our daily life. As I looked at this portion of scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." That's been my ministry ever since I was put into the ministry. "Not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." That, as I say, that's one of our duties day after day. Demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power within our lives. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the prince of this age, that come to nothing." You know, man can get up and they can preach and they can pray and they can put on a good front, but if they're not led by the Spirit of God, it really doesn't mean much. He says the wisdom of this world is going to come to naught. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." That next verse is one that I often think of. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." You know, I've said already here that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man. I believe the things are so great that the Lord has in store for us that our greatest imagination cannot even comprehend what it really is. But we're looking forward to the time when we shall see him as he is and praise him as we ought. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And it's always been my desire that we might have that mind of Christ when we get up to speak, or as like I said, as we go about our daily work. This fourth verse here where he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." How do we demonstrate something? We're looking at demonstrating the Spirit and the power. And I had to think, this is a little odd maybe to speak from the pulpit, but I had to think of years ago when a farmer wanted to buy a new tractor. The different companies would come out with their tractor and try to show which one had the most power and which one could do the best. And a neighbor had a demonstration like that, and a young boy was there, and there was one of the tractors that was a big, fancy new tractor. And this lad said, "That tractor is too big for its weakness." And, you know, I wonder sometimes if maybe a lot of the preaching today, if it doesn't really come from the Word of God, they're really too big for the weakness. Without the Spirit of God and without His power, we would have nothing to offer. So we're thinking about demonstrating in our natural life day after day. How do we demonstrate? By the life we live. Are we thankful for each day? Is this the day that the Lord has made? I want to go back to Psalm 90 and read a few verses there. Psalm 90, verses 14 through 17, where the psalmist says, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servant, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be known, be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." You know, I was wondering, and I was saying, as we demonstrate day after day, here he says, "Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us." You know, I thought about this. When we're afflicted sometimes, I believe that we need to realize that, as the scripture says, and this is one of my favorite, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And I'm wondering sometimes when we are afflicted, are we complaining or do we ask God what we can learn from this? I believe there's something to learn in every situation in life if just we look to God and ask him, what can we learn from this, rather than complaining. And so many people do maybe complain because, why did this happen to me? You know, when I think of why me, Lord, you know what I think of? I think of the song that says, "Why me, Lord, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings I've known?" Not why me that I had to suffer some affliction or something that wasn't pleasant, but why me, Lord, that I have been blessed with so much of your glory that we can go about day after day. And really, many times, I think as I go about my work, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. I believe the Christian should show to those around us that we are rejoicing. We're glad every day. We have so much to be thankful for. And how do we handle that? I believe the world is looking at us to see how we take those kind of things. Now I want to go back to 1 Timothy, the second chapter, and read a few verses there. Verses 1 through 8. "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Do we really give thanks for all men? He says that we're to pray, intercede for them, and giving thanks for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, I often wonder, do we thank God for the president which we have, or do we complain about him? I'm going to say here that whenever before the presidential election, when Hillary and Obama were competing with each other, How did you feel about it? This is what I said. The scripture says we're to pray for those in authority. I said, if Obama gets in, I'm going to pray for him. If Hillary gets in, I'm going to pray for her. That's our duty. And you know, I believe the world around us, if we're going to complain about all these things, we don't have a very good witness. The powers that be are ordained of God. I knew that whoever was going in was going to be put there by God. And we are to pray for them. And the world around us, I believe, is going to watch. You're going to see whether we're really committed to what the Bible teaches or whether we're going to use our own ideas. He says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. For this I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Can we lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting? God knows my heart better than I know it myself. And I could stand up here and lift up my hands and praise the Lord, but if it's not in my heart, it doesn't mean anything, and God knows that. That's why I say so often, we ought to each morning start out with the words of the psalmist where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, God knows my heart better than I know it. And when I ask him to search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, I'm asking him if there's anything in my heart that's displeasing. Take it out and take it away that I may bring honor and glory to him. And I think that's very important. And many times I do pray that prayer in the morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. For I realize that he knows me better than I know myself. Now I want to go to 1 Timothy 4, which is just across the page in my Bible. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the latter times. You know, I think we're living in the latter times today, don't you? We could go on here where he says about some of the things that are going to be. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I don't see how anybody can stand up and preach if they're a homosexual, or I'll go further than that, if they're divorced and remarried, they're living in adultery. And I don't see how they can stand up and preach. Their conscience must be seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it received a thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. Now, I believe here that we're not so much with the preaching about abstaining from marriage and so on and about the meat we eat, but I believe that we are confronted with some of the things that are contrary to the word of God. And we need to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. That way we'd be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nurtured up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, bodily exercise profiteth nothing. You know, I think so many times as we come to church, maybe on Sunday morning, they're out there, they're running down the road, they're trying to help to this body along. But I think they ought to come and get some of that inside nourishment in place of being so concerned. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with exercise, but I think we ought to put first things first. And if we're going to put first things first, we're going to be more concerned about the soul than we are about the body. I know we should take care of our bodies and so on, but I'll tell you, this old body is going to die someday, but this soul is going to live on forever. Never to cease. And I'm going to say this here. I don't know if I've ever said it from the pulpit, but I hear the expression sometimes, throughout all eternity. There's no such a thing. There's no through, there's no out, there's no all to eternity. Eternity is eternity. There's no end to it. You never get through it. It never gets all. And to think that the soul of man never dies. Can you imagine coming to the great judge someday and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you know that there's no end to that misery. While we have the opportunity today, we ought to take advantage of it and be right with the Lord. "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith and purity." We're to be an example to those around about us. Be the example of a believer. If we really believe it, we're going to do it. If we don't really believe it, I guess we wouldn't think it's too important. But if we really believe it, we're going to practice it. And if we realize that those, even of our own families sometimes, that have never accepted Christ, we have no promise of tomorrow. And we ought to do everything we possibly can, every one of us, to get them to learn to know Christ and be in a right relationship with Him. We have no promise of tomorrow. But I'll tell you, we want to be ready when that time comes. He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." You know, if we meditate on these things rather than all the things of the world, he says that your profit may appear to all. And others are going to see. They can tell if we're happy or not. You know, if you can meet up with somebody and good morning and give them a smile, some people just look and grunt. But if you're really happy and living for the Lord, they're going to see that you have something that they don't have if they're not happy. And we're supposed to let it be known to all. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." If we're going to continue on in the doctrine, he says, we're going to save ourselves and those that hear us. If they're going to hear, if we're going to have that in our lives as they see day after day that we are living for the Lord and we're happy every day of our lives. I think we ought to be happy every day. I know there's some sickness, there's some infirmities and so on, but yet we can rejoice that we have a Lord that is still in control. You know, in the latter times there are going to be seducing spirits, and to seduce is to lead into error or wrongdoing. Now there are those who will tell you that this is not so important and that is not so important, but it's all important, and we need to look into God's word, and we need to study it, and we need to live it in our lives day after day. Now we go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and I want to read a few verses there. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers. And I'll tell you, those who have been to annual conferences and so on, those homosexuals, aren't they false accusers? Aren't they despisers of those that are good? The Bible here speaks against it. Without natural affection. And that's one of the things today, without natural affection. Women not loving their children and so on. It's just pitiful, the things that are going on. But to me, it just tells us that we're living in the last days. The two things that really stand out to me right now are the things where, when we see all these things come to pass, we're not to be trouble, but we're to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. And when I see these things come to pass, and the two that really I see is without natural affection, and knowledge shall increase. Have you ever seen anything like knowledge increasing like it is today? That's a sign of the time. And we need to wake up. We realize we have no promise for tomorrow. It's a sign of the time. We're to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Are you happy that our redemption is drawing nigh? I am. I'm looking forward to it with fond anticipation. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. Did you ever see a time when they're more lovers of pleasure, rather the ball games and some of those things, rather than going to church? These things God all sees and he knows. He knows the desires of our hearts, what we're interested in and what we're not interested in. You know, that's another thing that I see that we're getting away from. Now, I don't say we, but I believe the church at a lot of places is. And that is... And I remember our evangelist, when he was here, made a statement something like this. He said, we talk about brethren doctrine, but we get mixed up when we say brethren doctrine rather than Bible doctrine. And I think that's true. I like to look at it as Bible doctrine that has been preserved by the brethren and has been held up by the brethren. It's not brethren doctrine, but I'm glad that the brethren have held it up and we've lived according to it. But I'll tell you, in so many places, they're getting so far away, we wonder. And there's something we need to be. We're not to judge, but we don't need to judge. The word here is going to judge. And whenever we want to talk about some of these things, if we have the word back of us, we don't need to be afraid to judge. But we have to judge according. And I say this book here is, and we can be glad that we have this book. We can open it up and it tells us what's right and what's wrong. And we can judge our lives according to that. And I think that every one of us ought to. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. From such turn away. They might have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power of it. And unless we're serving God from an honest heart, we're not going to have that power. We need to really look to him day after day. Perilous times, we're living in perilous times. Now I want to go over to the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy here. And this is directed mainly to our new ministers, and not only to them, it's been directed to each one of us. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? What does it mean? I believe it means to be earnest and be about our Father's business. That's what I would call it. Preach the word, be diligent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think that preach the word, whether it's in season or out of season, I take that to mean whenever they're willing to listen and whenever they don't want to listen. I believe in season if they want to hear it, but if they don't want to, it might be out of season, but we're going to preach it anyway. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I believe we've got to speak out against these things. We can go to these meetings and so on, but if we're going to sit there and not say anything about it, I believe we're quenching the Spirit. But I believe we need to speak out. We need to hold up the word, for that's the only thing that's going to last. Preach the word, be diligent. Be about your Father's business, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. That isn't really pleasant to do, is it? But a time comes when we need to do that at times. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That tells me that even in reproving or rebuking, we ought to do it with longsuffering and doctrine. The doctrine's in this book, and our longsuffering should show those that we're reproving, that we are concerned about them. We're not trying to condemn them, but we're trying to get them on the right track. And that's what we're really for anyway. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What do we get from that? I believe they'll heap to themselves teachers that if you pat them on the back and tell them that was a good sermon, that's the one they want. They're going to listen to them. And that's, if they don't preach the full word, then we need to have our eyes and our ears open. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think the time's here in many places. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, those that'll tell them what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What's fables? Something that isn't true anyway. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be times when they're not going to appreciate when we stand on the word of God. But it isn't what they think, it's what God thinks of us. And then he says, Paul writing to his spiritually son Timothy and to you and I, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And you know, the older we get, the closer we come to the end, if we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. You know, I believe that as ministers, we need to preach the word in season, out of season, whether they want to hear it or whether they don't. And we're going to be held accountable someday for whether we help people along or whether we discourage people along the way. I want to turn back to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and read a couple verses there. Revelation 22, verses 17 and 18. 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Now there, we're to preach the word. If we add to, the plagues are going to be added to us. And if we take away from, then our name is going to be taken out of the book of life. And no one wants this to happen. You know, I had to think of when I drove truck going down into Scranton, a pretty deep, pretty steep hill going down into the city. And there was a sign there for the truckers that said, all trucks use first gear, obey or pay. And you know, I believe that's what it is here. We're going to obey or we're going to have to pay. What does the sign say out along Route 30 right now? Something about, how does it say? Drive sober or be pulled over, something like that. And you know, I believe that's right here. We better be sober. We better know what we're talking about, and we better live it in our lives, or someday we're going to be disappointed. May the Lord add his blessing. Keep working on. Our journey will soon be ended, and then we're going to go to be with the Lord, and I look forward to that with fond anticipation.
We want to thank Brother Fred for his sincere remarks. And at this time, we'll ask the candidates and their wives to come forward and be seated here on the front bench. We'll both have to crane our necks here, but Jesus came preaching the gospel. God continues to call men and women to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Pleasant Hill congregation, in fulfillment of the sacred trust given by God, has seen fit to call Larry Miller and Jeffrey Burt to be licensed to the set-apart ministry. This congregation and the ministry commission of the Southern District have recommended that Larry and Jeff be given a license to preach the gospel. Brother Larry and Brother Jeff, do you renew your baptismal vows, reaffirming your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and your commitment to serve as his disciple? If so, answer, yes, I do. Do you affirm your devotion to the Church of Jesus Christ and specifically to the Church of the Brethren, which calls you to this ministry? And do you promise to live in harmony with its principles, ordinances, and doctrines, being at all times faithful to its disciplines and government, unless it clearly conflicts with God's word? If so, answer, yes, I do. Will you seek to live in the spirit of Jesus Christ and so witness to Christ by word and life that the church may increasingly become the fellowship of peace and redemption in this world? If so, answer, yes, I will. Will you seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the church so far as your future relationship to the ministry is concerned? If so, answer, yes, I will. You sisters, Angie and Lori, are you in agreement with your husband's call and commitment, and will you support him in his ministry? If so, answer, yes, I will. Yes, Brother Larry, Brother Jeff, you are hereby committing yourself to a period of service in preaching the gospel and exploring what it means to be in the set-apart ministry. As a licensed minister, you are in the process of preparation for ordination as established by the Church of the Brethren through annual conference. With this license, you may preach and teach. As you faithfully pursue the purposes affirmed here today, you will become more certain of God's will for your life. Therefore, with your statement of purpose and your consecration to the will of God, the Southern District of the Church of the Brethren grants you authority to preach the gospel. I charge you, Brother Larry, Brother Jeff, and your wives, to be faithful in study and full preparation for the work of ministry, to be constant in prayer, to be diligent in striving to know and to do God's will, and to do the work of a good minister of Jesus Christ with courage, loyalty, faith, and devotion. At this time, I'd like to present the certificate.
church manual. And at this time, we'd like to have the candidates and their wives kneel facing the audience. And we'll have a prayer of consecration.
Our holy heavenly Father, we come to thee just now with grateful hearts that we can call on thee and address thee as our Father. We know that you're looking down from heaven just now, and we just thank you for your presence with us, and your word tells us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We pray a special blessing upon these ministers and their wives, that as they go about day after day, that others might see that there is a reality in serving thee, the only true and living God. We know from experience that there are times when it doesn't go as easy as other times. Father, you promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and you never have. And our desire would be that they would never leave or forsake you, but that you would be with them constantly. Guide their feet, guard their tongues and their thoughts. Ever lead them by your Holy Spirit. And as they go about day after day, that they might realize the seriousness of living for you, and might have that love in their hearts for those that have never learned to know Christ as their Savior. Because this is your will, that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless them as they go forth from this place. Help each one of us that we may help them along wherever we can. And we give you the glory, for you're worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. And we pray it in that lovely name of Jesus.
Our Father, we just are so thankful for the working of your Spirit that you have called from our congregation two brothers who have been previously called in their own hearts. And we thank you for their willingness to serve you and others. And we just pray for your enabling grace and power for them, Brother Larry, Brother Jeff, as supported by their wives, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would be able to speak the truth in love. And Lord, we pray that they would be an example of the believers, and that their hearts and lives would be demonstrating the working of your power within. Father, we pray for them as parents and the time constraints that many face in the ministry, that you give wisdom that is from above, and that you would help them to sort out the priorities and make decisions that would benefit their family and the church and the kingdom of God. And we pray most of all that you would help them to be faithful, that you would help them to stand against temptation and trial, and that they rely on your strength in every area of their lives. And may through their ministry there be much fruit born for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, you have heard the prayer of our brothers. We pray that you would just bless each of these men and their wives and families as they enter into this period of service. Father, we pray that you would grant them long and faithful ministries. We pray that you would keep them faithful to you, Lord. We pray that you would help them to love your church, to love their people. Father, help them to shepherd and love and nourish those who they are called to minister to. Thank you for the nurturing ministers that are here that can help them and nurture them. We pray that you would just grant that
your spirit may guide each of them. Father, we know that they're human. We know that there will be mistakes made. We pray that you would give the congregation and them a forgiving heart. We pray that you would help them to quickly forgive anything that is wrong, and grant that they may quickly make it right. Father, we pray again that you would just fill them now as our hands are upon them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Grant that you may give them power. We pray that you would help them to prioritize their family lives and their church lives. Grant that they may not neglect their family responsibilities. We pray most of all that you would just be with them and guide them and bless them. And we'll thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. And hear us now as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Just as a benediction, may the clear call from God and the transforming love of Christ and the strength of the eternal Spirit be present with us all of our days. Amen.
Call for a closing hymn.
And we'll have a closing hymn.